Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Bingity bong, bingity bong.
Is it?
Bing bong, bing bong, bingity bong. It's suggestible time.
It certainly is. It's the show where we go, hey, listen to this. We watch something and we read a book or whatever and you have to listen to us talk about
it. My name is Claire Tonti. James Clement is here. Also, we are married and I have a Halloween hangover.
Wow, Claire.
I know. I didn't even drink anything.
Irresponsible.
I know it was.
You're
just,
a mother.
It was just raining a lot. We wore a Ninja Turtles outfit. If you want to see it, you should go check it out over on our Instagrams.
Yeah, and also, if you are, if your family's dressing up as Ninja Turtles characters, make sure you're always standing with them if you're dressed as Casey Jones, because otherwise, everybody thinks you're dressed as a murderer.
Yes.
Well, I guess he is a murderer also.
My friend did point out there's four of us. Why didn't we just all go as Ninja Turtles?
Because, Claire, adult Ninja Turtles costumes, they're of low quality. They're not good, Claire. They're no good. And you got to wear a jumpsuit. An
I
April
love
O'Neil
that
jumpsuit.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to wear that jumpsuit so much. I went as April and it's yellow and it's so beautiful. I loved it so much. I might just wear it forever now.
Why not? Check out Claire's Instagram at Mrs. Sunday Movies. No, is that right?
No.
Mrs. It's... James is her
that's
Instagram.
That's it. That's, I don't even have a name anymore. I just get called Mrs. James. Claire Tonti, thank you very much. And yes, I haven't changed my name for very good reasons. The bloody patriarchy
it's
and
true.
All the things. I still think it's bullshit. Okay, I'm not going to go on a rant, but I will just slightly.
Okay, she's
it
not going to go on a rant.
Bullshit.
She's not going on a rant, everybody. So we're just gonna jump ahead.
Why? Like, I get it. I understand people change their name, and obviously because it's lovely to all have the same surname as a family, right? I just think it's total bullshit that it's women that are expected to just do it.
I agree.
It just doesn't make any sense to me anymore. At all. Not even slightly. It used to kind of where I was like, that's lovely. We'll all have the same surname. I didn't even. No, it's
who
no
cares?
Good. I don't have the same
also,
surname.
Also, who cares
as my
if they got
kids.
Different names? It doesn't matter.
I hate it. I
it's
want
just
us
names.
All to have the same surname and it to be my surname.
People should be able to change their names to whatever they want, whenever they want, or whatever.
Yes.
Be called anything and
well,
who cares?
Exactly. Anyway, let's moving right along.
Let's moving right along. Now, of course, now we're into the segment of the show where you tell us about Project Hail Mary, a book that you've been reading for the past
all right.
several weeks.
Update. Update, everyone.
You purchased it.
I purchased it on
Kindle. I know, because I got the receipt. I got the email.
It's there. So, as I said, it's a journey. It's a process. It's a vibe. It's Marbo. it's coming.
You're comparing.
It's coming.
I'm
making slow progress.
You're reading Project Hail Mary to Indigenous rights in Australia with
no,
the word Marbo.
No, I was referencing the wonderful
no,
Australian
Claire,
movie,
that's
The
in poor
Castle.
Taste. That's in poor taste.
I didn't mean that. I was referencing The Castle. You know, where he's like, it's the vibe.
I'm cancelling you, Claire.
Oh, Lord.
That's right.
Good. Then I could go back to bed. I'm very tired today.
You shouldn't have drunk so much.
I didn't drink anything. It was just I got very excited and I had two different parties to go to. And when I get really excited, I get an excited hangover because I was so enthusiastic and so excited about the costume. And then I got to bed and I didn't really sleep.
I've never
I get
an
so
excited
by
hangover.
Things.
I don't get excited. So I've just got... I'm just
that's
same.
Bloody
I'm just
true.
Like, just like this. Yeah, I'm just like this. So this all the time. And I'm tired. So it's this and then I'm more tired.
Okay. Yeah, so your baseline is me on a very bad day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Well, anyway, I don't know if anyone else relates to this, but sometimes I get so excited that the next day I get sore muscles. From how excited I was
I get
about
that
my costume.
From doing chin-ups, Claire, and doing
oh,
squats
at the park.
And deadlifts.
I don't even need to do that. I just use my enthusiasm. Oh. Gyms are overrated.
I think all the best bodybuilders don't even lift weights. They're just incredibly enthusiastic. And they're
yes.
just buzzing like a
it's
hummingbird.
It's like Arnie. Arnie's very enthusiastic about
it's
life.
True.
About eggs, apparently.
Loves eggs.
Loves eggs. Loves protein.
He did say milk was for babies. He did say that once.
Milk is for babies.
That's what he
I
said.
I love how he says babies. Babies.
He doesn't say it like that.
Babies.
That's
how he
you.
Says it.
No, he doesn't. That's how you imagined he said
how
it.
How does he say babies then?
I don't know. Babies. I don't babies. Know.
He would have to say it, babies. So I'm going to Google him saying babies.
Okay, fine. During
Google
the show,
him saying
I'll
babies.
Have a look for it.
All right, while you're doing that, can I talk about my next thing?
I would love
my
to.
My first thing. All right, okay. So I am really excited to talk about a music thing because you know what I'm like. I'm in my enthusiasm for music vibe. Currently. And I found a new artist. Well, she's not new. She's been around for a very long time. I love her. Her name is Casey. I'll start that again. I've got Casey from the Ninja Turtles in my head from you. What's his last name?
Jones.
Jones, that's right. No, her name is Kathy Davey. Now, Kathy Davey was born in 1979 and is an Irish singer-songwriter. She has released one extended play, Come Over, in 2004 and four albums since then, my favourite of which is one called The Nameless that she released in 2010.
Aww.
Yes, she's so amazing. Her second album garnered her a 2007 Choice Music Prize nomination and the 2008 Media Award for Best Irish Female and spawned a number of successful singles, including Reuben, Moving and Sing for Your Supper. The Nameless, which is my favourite one, was the top-selling album in Ireland upon the week of its release, and it was also nominated for the Choice Music Prize. Now, she was born in Dublin and is the daughter of composer Sean Davey and sculptor Agnes Conway. And at the age of 10, she moved with her mother to Wiltshire, where they lived for several years. And on their return to Dublin, they settled in Monkstown, where Davey spent the rest of her teenage years. And she's just an incredible person. Do you know what she does now? I love it so much. She and her partner, Neil Hannon of the Divine Comedy, live in Kildare, and Davey is an animal lover and has an animal rescue charity called My Lovely Horse Rescue, which she has then grown into being My Lovely Pig Rescue. And her Instagram is now very much not music and mainly rescuing pigs.
Well, pigs are better than horses.
Yeah, are they? Love horses. You really hate horses. Why do you hate horses?
I just want them to get out of my business.
All right. Anyway, I'll talk about her music now. I just sort of talked a little about who she is.
What do you want me to say while you're doing this?
Just how much you hate horses and love pigs.
No worries.
What? So many reasons.
I don't even love pigs. I'm just like,
you're very terrified. Remember that time when the horse escaped and I was pregnant and you freaked out and I had to get the horse back into the paddock?
I don't know how to handle a horse, Claire. It's like a dog that can kick you through the fucking head. I don't like it.
They're so horsey and beautiful.
No, they're not.
They
good.
Sense your weird energy and then they freak out around you.
They do sense my weird energy.
It's like
energy.
Birds as well.
That's because I'm sensing their weird energy.
They don't have weird energy. They're beautiful. They're very intuitive horses. People use horses for therapy.
Yeah.
Very intuitive.
Some people use therapists for therapy, but each to their own.
Yeah. Well, I encourage everyone to seek therapy from whoever and whatever they can.
Okay.
Anyway, back to Kathy Davey. My favorite song on the album, The Nameless, is a song called Lay Your Hand. And it's just... I cannot explain her sound. I guess it's a little bit Ingrid Michaelson. It's just, maybe a bit Fronte. She's just got this beautiful vocal quality, but that song, Lay Your Hand, builds with this incredible string section and over the course of the song just becomes this kind of glorious sweeping melody, and it's about desire and love and that kind of – I love songs that describe – a really specific feeling.
Okay.
I'm all about emotions and feelings.
Sure.
But not like, this is a song about happiness. This one's about desire, but about that really minute feeling between like when you desire something and the actual getting of it. So it's, like when you meet someone or that kind of, it's that opening beginning of a relationship.
Yeah.
Are you talking like a
romantic relationship or just any relationship?
Well, this one is a romantic one.
This person's great.
Yeah.
Love hanging out.
But you don't know whether they think the same. You know that specific feeling.
That's when you ask them straight away. You're like, do you reckon we could ever get married? Do you reckon one day you could get married, have kids, have a bunch of kids
good.
Together?
Not weird at all.
No, it's fine.
Totally fine.
Just bail up somebody who works
like
at your
that.
Local cafe.
I had a friend who had someone on a date she met on Tinder ask her that on the first date.
If what?
You're like, this is going very well. Do you think we'd have kids one day and get married? Would you like to go? And he asked her as well, would she like to go on a cruise with him?
Whoa.
First date, an hour in. I know. And they were going out for dinner. And he drove. I don't know why she did this, but she
always
didn't
get
have a car.
Your own transportation.
Right?
Never
no
meet at your home.
Correct.
Always
dangerous.
Go to a public-ish place.
I know.
Yeah.
And so she just went on one date, and then later on, she was at her local supermarket, and he lived like an hour away, and he just was there at the supermarket with like a bottle of orange juice.
Well, that could have been a coincidence.
So weird. Definitely not. And he was like, what a coincidence I meet you here at the local Woolies supermarket when he lives an hour away at like 7 p.m. on a Monday night.
That's insane.
It was really creepy.
Anyway, did they get married?
Anyway, be careful out there. Yes, they are happily ever after.
That's great.
No,
that's
not
good.
At all. Anyway.
Well, we've mostly talked about this. That's the stories of like people from more previous generations, but I guess it does happen now where it's like, I bothered your grandma for 4 years and then eventually she was like, fine, and she was 16 and I was 28.
So
we got married.
It's so bad. And then
that's not my grandparents. Just
no, it's not. But there was a lot of things that people put up with, particularly women. Yeah. Shall we go into
that? Well, these people used to change their names, which is what it should be.
Oh,
you
God.
Know? And everyone agrees
just,
with me.
It's so weird to me. It's just occurred to me recently how weird it is. Like, we all just accept the fact that women grow up with a name, and then as soon as they get married, like, oh no, I'll take my husband's name.
Yeah.
So I understand
keep your
people
name,
do
unless
it.
Unless your name sucks. Unless and your also, name is.
Like
Jessica
why,
Adolf Hitler. It's then
just,
you should change it.
I understand why people do it, and it's totally fine if you have done it. It's just it's such a weird thing we've all just accepted that yeah. that's the way it is.
And you know, it's in hindsight, I would totally change my name, like a hyphenated noun names or whatever. Like
I've
I
been
don't
thinking
care.
About that a lot actually, because our kids
it.
Don't have.
I don't care.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. Anyway, back to Kathy Davies. So yeah, if you listen to one song from The Nameless, I would say Lay Your Hand. It's just. It's so glorious, and because, you know, I'm really into songwriting at the moment with this album, I've been listening to artists where it's just getting very, very specific.
Yeah,
and I guess that's a writing skill in general, being able to describe. And the thing I love about music is not only are you describing a specific moment or feeling, you're then creating this whole energy and sound around that feeling.
Yeah,
so it kind of takes you away on a journey while listening to that piece of music. And that's what I find really fascinating. Do you have a song like that?
Probably, but I'd have to think about it.
Alex Lloyd?
I do like Alex Lloyd,
yeah.
But I wouldn't say that would be like...
One like that.
Yeah.
The one from our wedding, Come and Get Your Love by Redbone,
yeah.
is kind of...
Which I was going to say, but that was before Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't, maybe it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. No, because
you got married in 2014.
No, it came out and then you played that song to me so many times and you loved that album. Remember we were dancing around in our flat to it?
Oh, our flat. I'm more happy. Yeah.
You only like music that
comes. True.
That's before.
I only like music when someone's like, this is in a movie. I'm like, it's in a movie.
Yeah.
Must be a good
generally,
song.
Generally, all your song references, most of them come from films, which there's nothing wrong with
or
that
television.
Either. Because they're usually really great theme songs and really great.
That's true. Like
they're
the Ninja
they're
Turtles
chosen
thing.
For TV and film for a very good reason. Mm. The other one I love is the one we did our wedding nights to, If I Should Fall, that cover by Dion.
That's true. And that is not from
a movie.
That is from. That's from a podcast. That's from a Stephen Tobolowsky's podcast. He played it on it, which is a great podcast.
Is that how you found it? I actually didn't know that.
It's a Springsteen song, I think.
It is a Springsteen song, yeah, because you can't find that version on Spotify. You can only get it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But it's just, oh, it's glorious. So go look up that song, actually. That's what we danced to.
I don't need to look it up, Claire. I know that song.
I'm telling you, I introduced you
to that song.
Do you know, James, there's not just two of us in the room. There's all these other legends out there who are listening, who we think
and
are
there's
excellent.
Little James under the table. Familiar
yeah.
with this little James?
I am, because you played it to me while I was brushing my teeth the other night and laughed along, as you do, to your own jokes.
It wasn't my joke. It was a collective joke. Also, little James is not a joke. Isn't that right, little James?
Yeah.
There he is.
Hi, little James.
Oh, he's put his headphones back in.
Oh.
I don't know what he's up to.
Who knows?
Listening to this show, but I don't trust him. I'll never tell him that, though.
Maybe he's listening to a song that describes a specific feeling.
No, I'm not. Oh, well, there you go. He's not.
Oh, he's not. He's not into music, little James.
No.
Oh, little James, I have a question for you later. What are you doing tonight after dinner?
I'm busy.
Are you too busy for me?
Yes.
Oh.
I'm sharpening knives. Oh, no.
I just have a fantasy about you and little James together.
Little James, no, it's not happening. A little version of me leaping about. I don't want any of that.
Okay, this got way too creepy. I'm so sorry. We could take
you
can that
blame
out.
Little James
Collins,
for that.
Take this out. It's no good. Anyway, that's my recommendation, The Nameless by Kathy Davies, who's a pig rescuer and also an amazing artist.
Great.
Love her. Amazing. So cool. And Irish. And we know we have some amazing Irish listeners out there.
Name one. Declan O'Shaughnessy.
Perfect.
Okay. Now, I know we wanted to find out whether Arnold could – how Arnold says babies.
Yes.
And I have found that. Here's a clip.
All right. Okay. Wait. Before you play it, I'm going to say how I think it sounds, okay?
Okay.
Babies.
All right.
Yeah. Okay,
here we go.
He's holding a baby. That's not him saying babies. He's saying mama, and it's like, like a weird dream where he's looking at his own face.
It's the movie Junior Claire.
But surely he would say baby in that movie.
No, that's just a clip I found. I do actually have it, but I've used a fake you, what's it called, fake you, where it synthesizes speech.
Oh, that's very clever.
I've entered the word baby.
How did you do that while I was talking about Kathy Davey?
I'm just really good at doing useless things.
Babies.
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 That's very close. Babies.
No, it's not close.
That is
all.
Very
You're saying
close.
Babies.
Babies. Yeah. That's he saying it.
Babies.
That's very close.
Also, that is, to be fair, that is synthesized speech.
Exactly. He would definitely have a little bit more air in it.
He wouldn't.
I'll be back. See?
I'll be back.
Babies. It's the same.
No, it's not.
Oh, excellent. I'm really glad. I'm satisfied. We can finish now. If I smoked, I'd have a cigarette. That was great.
Great.
Okay, go on with your recommendation. What sad thing are you telling us about this week?
Great question, Claire. This is actually a movie.
Mm.
It's called The Good Nurse. It's directed by Tobias Lindholm and it's written by Christy Norma Leslie.
Excellent.
It stars Jessica Chastain and Edward Redmayne, who you might know from.
That rhymes.
You know, the various movies and properties. Mm-hmm. He's the magical goof in the Magical Beast movies.
Mm-hmm.
She's in various things. She's good. Anyway, so it's about a nurse played by Jessica Chastain. She has a heart condition. She needs health insurance, right? But she's a few months out before the health insurance will kick in. So she's working all these shifts. She's got kids at home. She's a single mother, right? But she's like, God damn, I need this heart transplant. But if I leave, I can't pay for the heart transplant, right?
Mm.
Anyway, a new nurse starts by the name of Edward Redmayne. And he's great. And he's like, I'm going to help you through this. You know, we're friends. You know, I can keep the secret. He looks after her kids and all of that. Because if they find out that she needs a heart transplant, they're not going to let her work in the hospital because that is obviously a liability. It speaks to a larger problem with, you know, healthcare being tied directly to employment. That's a whole nother issue, Claire, that I won't get into, but I do not like it. Anyway, at the hospital, people start mysteriously dying. Just like they'll just like the systems will like fry and then they'll like flatline. And they're like, what's going on? Why are these people? We didn't normally have this many codes going on in the hospital. Anyways, it turns out that this is a true story about these two real people that this happened to. And the Eddie Redmayne character, it seems, is going hospital to hospital, putting insulin in IV bags and just randomly killing patients.
Oh.
And so it's about her, first of all, discovering whether this is true. And then kind of helping with an FBI sting operation to catch this guy because he's not hands-on killing people. He's just randomly killing people. Mm. And also he's been able to go hospital to hospital. There's always like a spike in incidents and then like there's some suspicions and he'll move on. And hospitals, to cover themselves, he went through dozens of hospitals just doing this. But they, you know, to keep having to pay off people, they don't acknowledge this. They just quietly move him on to a different place. So he may have done it hundreds of times. They don't know. They got him. He's in jail now. Again, this is a true story. But it's about this story unfolding and these two people. And it has taken some liberties. In real life, she did have a heart condition, but it wasn't to the point where she needed a
transplant.
But, no, she did help catch this guy who did this. It's on Netflix, so it's free, Claire.
Yes.
Because if you're using it in someone else's account, obviously – and it's absolutely well worth checking out. It's really good. It's called The Good Nurse. It's the length of a movie. How long is a movie?
Hour and a half.
Yeah, it's probably a bit more than that.
2 hours.
Yeah, it's probably about 2 hours.
Long time.
Yeah, maybe a bit in
just
between that.
Just sit for a long time to watch a movie.
But it's great. Really good. You might even like it, Claire. Ooh. It's not like you don't see people like, you know, getting stabbed and coughing up blood and losing limbs and that.
Yeah, don't like that.
Yeah, it's more horrific because it's like this is a real person who did this. For some reason.
So awful. It freaks me out. Because people are so vulnerable in the hospital setting, right, in just in the medical setting in general. It's like that horrible one with Jonathan Taylor. What's his face? You know the guy from Dawson's Creek who played
the
surgeon?
Oh, yeah. Is that Pacey you're talking
about? Pacey. What's
his name?
Joshua
Jackson.
There you go. I was going to call him Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. It's just that same thing.
Yeah, it is. It's that same vibe,
people are so vulnerable and
yeah.
Especially someone who's had a lot of surgery.
What's so strange about this is like you couldn't even argue it's for like euthanasia or, you know, to stop people in pain because you just killed a bunch of people who were in hospital for various ailments.
Yeah.
And he's just killing people. And also because like it's not targeted. It's just random.
God.
Yeah.
So awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some real not nice people out there.
Yeah. So he's going to be in jail till like the 2400 something. Yeah.
Amazing. So forever.
As long as he doesn't live that long, we should be all right.
Correct. Mm. Exactly. All right. Okay. Can I talk about
cool fact? A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My thing now?
I don't know, Claire. Depends what it is.
Right. I want to talk about Sally Hepworth. I've talked about her before.
Well, didn't you interview Sally Hepworth recently?
I did an interview with her last week that's coming out this Friday.
Seems like some shameless self-promotion.
It totally is.
Isn't that right, little James? It is. Leave her alone. Oh, okay.
I'll talk to you later, little James.
Yeah. I don't like this.
All right, so she's a New York Times bestselling author of The Family Next Door and The Mother-in-Law, and two of my favorite books, The Younger Wife and the most recent one that's just come out, The Soulmate. So you can now purchase that, and I love that book. It's a real page-turner. It's about a family who moved to live on a clifftop that turns out to be a suicide spot.
Oh, you talked about this. Yes,
partner ends up saving people's lives and stopping them from jumping until one day he doesn't.
Yeah.
And actually what I love about it, the tagline is, it's a story that she wrote during lockdown about marriage and murder.
Yeah.
Because she feels like a lot of people needed to hear that at that particular time. So I loved that as well. The reason I brought it up is because of our discussion last week, I think it was last week, about Heartbreak High and Chloe Hayden, who is an actor and an activist for people with autism and ADHD.
Yeah.
And she plays the role of Quinny in Heartbreak High. And so beautifully does so in a really authentic way, which I think we talked about. Often representations of autism have not been very accurate.
Definitely getting better, but yeah.
They are. But even the fact that she is autistic and plays an autistic person in that TV show is wonderful. The dog is at the door.
But the one who's an absolute
menace. Yeah.
Stay out there.
Be a dog. Oh, my, so annoying. Well, this is about it. As my son said this morning, why did you ever get a puppy? And I said, mate, people sometimes make bad choices.
It's true.
However, we have to.
You should have said,
her.
Like having kids, we got you.
No. Anyway, the reason I bring up Chloe and her representation of Quinny is because Sally Hepworth wrote a book a little while ago called The Good Sister. And I'll just tell you the premise of it first. The story is about a woman called Fern Castle who works in her local library, and she is autistic. She has dinner with her twin sister Rose 3 nights a week and avoids crowds, bright lights, and loud noises as much as possible. Fern has a carefully constructed life, and disrupting her routine can be dangerous. Mm. When Rose discovers that she cannot fall pregnant, Fern sees her chance to pay her sister back for everything Rose has done for her. Fern can have a baby for Rose. She just needs to find a father. Simple. So Fern's mission will shake the foundations of the life she has carefully built for herself and stir up dark secrets from the past in this quirky, rich, and shocking story of unexpected love.
My goodness.
And the reason I bring that up is because Sally Hepworth talks a little bit about this particular story and the character of Fern because it's based on people in her life that really do have autism. And I think it's a really much more accurate representation.
Right,
of autism or a particular person's story of autism. So that's one thing I wanted to recommend is that book. And I also wanted to go a bit further because Sally is just a ray of sunshine. And Colleen's just finished editing the episode and even sent me a message and said, gosh, this is an amazing episode. And she is so wonderful.
That's nice. He's never said that to me.
Anyway, yeah, he was so lovely about it.
You can't say it now either, Collins, because now I'll know you're just saying it because I said this.
Anyway, I loved the episode. One of the other reasons it's really special is Sally Hepworth has ADHD.
Yeah.
And we talk about her diagnosis in that and her pathway to diagnosis. And a lot of the things that she talked about made me cry. And why I bring this up is because I haven't been diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've been thinking about a lot because of just a lot of things in my life and the way my brain works.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things to do with ADHD have started to make me understand myself a lot more. So I share that with Sally in the episode. I actually get really emotional about it. And I just wanted to encourage you to go and listen to it because it's a real celebration of neurodivergence as well and people whose brains work differently. And I think for me, it solidified some things about why I do the things that I do in my life. And it's encouraging me to go and seek some medical help and go and talk to a GP and just go on the pathway to find out whether some of the things that I experience in my life are due to ADHD or maybe They're just my own unique quirks and I don't know. Yeah. But
well, either way, if it helps you and gives you strategies and, you know, peace of mind.
Yeah,
and all that,
yeah, exactly. And it just, it made me think too, because her, a couple of her kids have been diagnosed with ADHD and with autism as well, and her husband has autism. And
right,
so it's just this view of neurodivergence that I think I'm starting to grow in my understanding of, and feel like there's a lot of challenges for people who are neurodivergent because of the way our society is set up. But actually there's also a lot to be celebrated about it. She tells this story about how the receptionist at her psychologist has also got ADHD and said that it's a comedy show because one of the traits of ADHD is time blindness and people have a really hard time turning up for appointments. And so the receptionist said it's just ridiculous even getting people in the door to have their assessment for the ADHD.
Of course,
She also said a lot of artists, writers, creatives, musicians tend to have it because of the way their brains work. It just artists and creatives tend to kind of fall into this pathway. And I just found it really fascinating to hear her story. And also I just love her books. She's really, really cool. She tells a story about how she goes, I won't spoil the story other than to say that for one of the books that didn't actually become a book, her publisher decided she shouldn't publish it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She wanted to.
Why?
Well, she wanted to write a book about swingers.
Okay.
So her and her husband, Christian, who's autistic and very like direct, went to a swingers party, like a really high-end swingers party for research. And the stories that she tells from that party are insane. And there's a boner involved and
Christian.
Sure
there would be. I'm sure there'd be many.
And it was just, anyway, I won't spoil it. You need to go listen to the episode, but it's hilarious. Anyway, she did all this research. She made him go to this party. They both came back traumatized.
Yeah.
And then she wrote this whole book, spent a year of her life writing it, and then they wouldn't publish it because they felt like it wasn't appropriate and maybe not good enough. So
sounds like she should publish it.
Well, I think so. But anyway, it's interesting though, because then it led her to write The Good Sister.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is, I feel like maybe based more in her own experiences.
So, but the other one must do though, you know?
Yeah, well, exactly. Anyway, very fun episode and an interesting one. And I just wanted to share that because I think I'm nervous about sharing it, obviously, because I haven't had a diagnosis. So,
yeah.
Anyway. How do you cope with my time blindness? I wanted to ask you about that.
It's, you know, do your own thing, you know what I mean? It's fine. I know that, like, if we ever need to be somewhere, I have to be like, hey, this thing is happening at this time and you need to do, you know.
And I get really annoyed at you
about
it. Yeah,
you're like, I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, but do you? Do you?
It's like the party yesterday. You're like, what time did it start? I'm like, definitely 4:30. And you're like, are you sure?
Because I heard it was 4. And you're like, nah, it's at 4:30.
And I'm like, all right. And I called you at 10 to 4.
You're like, hey, it's at 4. And I'm like, oh, is it? Great.
And I'm stuck in traffic. I'm like an
hour away. And I don't have the address. Really good stuff. No, it's all right. You know, you know what gives me solace, though, for real? What actually helps me, genuinely?
Yeah.
This.
It's just a photo of Arnold Schwarzenegger's face on a baby.
Yeah, it's a good look at it.
Oh, it's freaking me out. I can't look at it anymore. It's going into my soul. Anyway, so that's Sally Hepworth on Tonts and her books, The Good Sister and The Soulmate, which you can purchase now. Christmas presents are coming up. I'm thinking about you if you have a partner in your life or a friend.
I'm thinking about you, Claire.
So that's what I'm thinking
about. I've already bought your Christmas present. It is wrapped and under the tree.
Stop it.
That's right.
The non-existent Christmas tree.
That's right. It's already there.
God, I have to get the tree out again.
You got to get that
already?
Tree out.
What is this life and time? It's very confusing.
It's
going to
be January again.
When we go to the beach on holidays, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. I don't like how the year restarts. It's annoying. Should just keep going. Should just make up new months. It'd be like, it's birth.
You don't like celebrations and marking time with any milestones. I'm all about that. I get to wear costumes. It's fun.
You do like wearing a costume.
All right. Have you got a review for us, Jimmy Jams?
No, Claire. I've got a recommendation, though. This is something our son got given for his birthday.
Yes.
It's called Transformers Shooting Pinball Battle, right? Or Transformers Shooting Pinball Battle. Now, it's not a pinball machine, Claire. Don't be naive.
It's not?
No. So basically you've got two teams. So it's a little board game, right? And one person picks the Decepticons and one picks the Autobots. And those, Claire, are the two different factions in Transformers. There are people in neutral or both sides and there are grey areas. And every now and then one will switch side. But generally in Transformers lore, dating back to the early days of Cybertron, earlier, it goes even beyond that, there is those two factions vying for power. You understand?
I do understand.
Yeah. So anyway, That's not relevant to the game. But there's two teams, right? Uh-huh. Anyway, you set up your little characters. Uh-huh. So one on their side, one on the other. Uh-huh. And then it's kind of like reverse hungry hippos. You know how a hungry hippo is? You got to eat the balls. You got a little shooter and you put all the balls in and you got to shoot and the balls go underneath and there's like little ramps and they flick up and they flick the other person's transformers out. Uh-huh. So you got to aim it up and then go pew and you shoot the little ball.
I like
and it
how flips you say pew.
Yeah, and it's great. Like it's really simple. And there's like barely any strategy to it and it hardly works, but it's fantastic. It's really fun. Our son and me have been playing a lot of that just like – and, you know, because I think as a game in itself, it's like it's fun. But when you make it like Transformers, it's like it's a whole nother level for him, you know what I mean? And which character do you get out? Which character, you know, he likes to decide like, well, this Optimus Prime is now shooting and whatever and I'm aiming for this particular character. There's a couple of criticisms. Here we go.
Here we go.
It's very sticker heavy, uh-huh. right? So you've got to put a bunch of stickers on it, including the little pieces that stick out. And the pieces aren't double-sided. So you can't see your own figurines. Like you can't – only the other person can. Not that that's relevant. I just think it would have been a nice detail. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And the other thing is sometimes they double up. They're like, oh, you've got Starscream and also Starscream, but he's a jet. It's ridiculous, Claire. You pick one or the other, you know? It's crazy. And then other times it's just like there's Optimus Primal, who's the Gorilla Optimus Prime, but there's not his alternate form. Doesn't make any sense. And yet there's Megatron and Megatron in tank form. There's plenty of Transformers. They didn't have to double up. There's only eight aside, Claire, uh-huh. is what I'm saying.
I see.
It's ridiculous. So it's a little sticker heavy. But again, it's fun and it's like a – if you like a hungry hippo, something like very simple and that and, you know, it's cool. I like
it. He loved it. I came out this morning after he was eating his breakfast and he was like, Mum, yeah. You got to play this game.
And the other thing that annoys me about this game, it doesn't pack away properly. So once you click in the handles, you can't put it – and you can't get it back in the box because you can't get the handles out. And all the bits are loose. Like there's no like
proper
folding down or to put the bits in so it doesn't – because it comes with like 40 tiny little balls and like 16 little figurines that you stick out of the top. So, you know, that's going to present a problem. I've put them in a Ziploc bag, but I just don't know the long term whether this is viable.
I don't know either. Yeah. It's tricky. Anyway, life's a series of challenges, James.
Check out Transformer Shooting Pinball Game. You can get it from Target or various other – websites, et cetera, you know what I mean? Or, you know, Kmart, I don't know. Where do you buy things?
Who knows?
I didn't buy it.
We're buying things.
Babies.
You know what I mean?
Babies. Oh, you did it together. I can make a whole song for my album of just these babies.
Have you done an album?
I have, and I keep talking about
it. It's the first I'm hearing of it.
I am just a ball of shameless self-promotion, aren't I? And I am standing for it. Women for too long have been ashamed.
That's right.
To be self-promoting. And I am here to say I will promote myself every goddamn minute.
Suck up all the oxygen in the room. Hey, Claire.
With joy. Yes.
Do you know what I love?
Reviews.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is from Jesse Adams.
Yum, yum.
And you can do it in any app that you want.
Yum, yum.
Whatever you're listening this on, except for BigSandwich.co, which is our private subscription service. I don't think that's got a rating system. But everything else does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you through Apple, you do it through Podcatcher, I don't know, Spotify. So this says, lovely podcast, 5 stars. A lovely podcast where a married couple suggests things to read, watch or listen to. Come for the bing bongs, stay for the discussion. No tram drivers are harmed during the making of this podcast.
Yes.
Which is probably true that we know.
Except for Little James.
Little James is not a tram driver.
I stepped on his toe before.
What? I thought you guys were having a good time.
No, that's for later.
Oh, I don't
that's
like
this.
That's
off pod.
You know he's not like me. He's got like rat DNA. He's like odd.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I take it back. I take it all back.
It's too late.
No. This is part of my problem.
Oh, he's putting on a little blazer. Oh, he's getting ready for his big date.
No, I'm sorry. Is he wearing a little cummerbund?
You'd have to look under the table. Don't tell
why
me.
Why are you wearing a cummerbund, little James? This is very inappropriate. Mm. And I don't like bow ties.
Well, you said it. You're going to break his little heart.
I've done the thing I usually do where I make a decision before I've thought it through.
I hope his heart breaks and he dies. I don't like him. Anyways,
what?
Go on, Claire.
That's a bit mean.
Read a letter.
All right, so I don't know if you remember this, but last week I went on a big rant about my mind spider.
Oh, do I remember that 10-minute interval that you did?
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. Anyway, you can write into the show just like Taylor Edgar has. Dear Claire,
ooh.
I know your old boot of a husband was giving you a hard time about the little spider who
lives
in your brain.
No, I just wanted to know the specifics of it.
But I wanted to let you know that you're not completely alone. I don't have a spider, but I know the feeling. Like, you know, the information is in your brain somewhere, but I'm having a hard time accessing it. I'm a big sci-fi fan, and although it's kind of an overused simile, I like to think of my body like a spaceship, and my consciousness is just an astronaut doing his best rocketing through the stars.
Oh, I like that metaphor.
Every spaceman needs a sidekick, so I have my own co-pilot and helper alien like Chewbacca. I grew up on the beach in Florida and have always loved crabs, so I picture a crab-like alien about the size of my childhood dog, a golden retriever, who makes repairs and handles the information and ideas that my daily brain doesn't need at the moment. Like your spider, my alien scuttles about and puts ideas together that I have lodged away somewhere in my brain and makes new machines with them to help me on my journey. I named him Rocky. So good to hear someone thinks along similar lines to describing how our weird little human brains work. Love the pod. Thanks for all the great content. Sincerely, Taylor and Rocky from Virginia. P.S. I know you have a lot going on, but you should read Project Hail Mary if you get time. It's great.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I bought it.
What do you think of that metaphor?
I loved it. You love it? Taylor, I love this so much.
Cool. I'm glad you like it. It's pretty good.
I think it's amazing.
I agree. I'm all for it.
I feel really glad that I'm not the only one.
Yeah, that's right. You and Taylor share a common bond, and this isn't some elaborate in-joke that you don't understand.
Oh, is it? Oh, no. Is it? Oh, no. This is because I don't listen to the Wheel of Time. What's the elaborate in-joke?
Nothing. Let's just say.
Explain it to me.
Let's just say it'll all come clear if you make good on certain promises.
What?
That's all I'm going to say.
I don't understand.
You can't understand it.
This is unfair. Me and my brain spider are feeling attacked.
It's nothing to do with something that you already know.
What?
You cannot, there's nothing in your brain that you can like, puzzle this out.
That I already know.
Yeah.
What? About?
Just read the book, Claire. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Taylor. Well, thank you, Taylor, for A, making me feel less alone, and then B, to ripping my heart out and stomping on it.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's an in-joke I don't understand. I've missed so many things. I miss a lot of things in life.
Well, that's life. You know, you can't capture everything.
I guess I'm alone out here in my uniqueness.
True.
It's all a right, lonely life.
Yeah, it's true. You are
anyway,
alone.
Anyway, thank you, Royal Collings, always, for editing this week's episode. I don't know. How does he do it?
I don't know. Probably a computer.
Probably. Nah. He's an excellent human.
Oh, you think he's doing it real to real?
I have to go and break it to little James that I've decided I no longer want to make the choice that I decided.
Just don't tell him and we'll lock the dog door. He won't be able to get in. It's fine.
Where does he live?
He lives under the table. Or I don't know. He's just there. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Poor guy. I just saw him walking
don't
away
worry
with his
about
shoulders
him. He's bad
slumped.
News, Claire. Stop talking to him. Don't encourage him. He's rude and mean.
Just saw him walking away. He looks so sad now.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.